Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Well, from the GAA to the nightmare before Christmas, lots to look back on in this week in history with Throwback Thursday. It's our own News Talk reporter, Laura Donnelly. Good afternoon.
Hello.
How are we doing?
This is fun.
Yeah, are you a Halloween fan?
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm not dressed up right now, but I do like Halloween. Sadly, I was just saying to you there, I don't get any trick-or-treaters in my apartment block.
No, I wouldn't be bothered by that at all.
That they're not calling?
No.
Yeah, well, the first few years I didn't know that was going to happen and I bought sweets and then
just had them for yourself, yeah.
Yes.
So you are not expecting any knocks on the door tonight?
No, I don't. Not to be Grinch-like about
but they
just don't call to me, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Anyway, I think this is a moment probably a lot of people will remember from last year.
All right, I've got a leg, three breasts and a wing.
Well, how do you find clothes that fit?
Ross and Charlie, Joey and Rachel, Phoebe and Mike. We're the only people leaving with the same person we came with.
That's not true. I came with Monica and I'm leaving with Weird Al.
Oh, Matthew Perry. We'll all kind of remember this time last year when that news broke. It was just came out of nowhere. And obviously that's a clip from Friends there. And that is what he is most well known for, playing Chandler Bing, one of the stars of the one of the six. But he also was on Ally McBeal and The West Wing, and he was Emmy nominated for those. But like, you don't really.
Didn't know that. I was an Ally McBeal fan, all right. Barely remember him in that.
Yeah, so he starred in that and received Emmy nominations previously. So with Friends, he initially missed out on the audition for Friends. I love hearing stories like this. He was filming something else and he missed going to the original audition, and then whatever he was filming ended and he got brought back in. Like, Friends wouldn't have been Friends without him, but it also wouldn't have been the same without any of the characters. They're all so right for their roles.
Absolutely. His role in particular, though, I think was just fantastic.
Yeah, and then you think Joey was so right for his
role too.
And then Monica, of course. So they were paid $1 million per episode. And
it's
that went on from 1994 to 2004. Like, they were huge. And I remember, like, when Friends was massive, like, you couldn't watch things back, or, you know, you had to watch it at the time that it came out. So, like, obviously people will focus on sort of this time last year when we found out he had died.
Maybe he's gone a year.
Yeah, he was found unresponsive in the hot tub of his LA home, and after what his family say was an afternoon of playing pickleball, which was his favourite thing. He'd brought out his book the year before called Friends, Lovers and the Big Terrible Thing, where he revealed the details of his addiction. And in that book, he said he had spent $7 million on rehab and recovery. It's really, really sad that he was kind of fighting to recover.
Now, I suppose we are talking about Halloween, but also this.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
So explain this.
Yes, it's confusing because it's listed as, is it a Halloween story with mentions of Christmas, or is it a Christmas story with mention of Halloween? So that's the film that came out in cinemas in this day in 1993, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. So it's the story of Jack Skellington, who lived in Halloween Town but stumbled into Christmas Town, wanted to bring Christmas joy to his friends and Halloween magic to the others. So this came out in 1993. And it doesn't massively resonate with me as something.
No, or me.
But it turns out it was deemed too scary for children. So it's likely that when it came out, we weren't really watching it because we would have been too young. So 31 years ago when this came out. But it was a huge hit with critics and financially, and it was nominated for an Oscar.
There you go. I think this is probably one of the things, I think it's fair to say, probably I think I'm going to say it changed our lives. The email.
I know. Yeah. First email was sent 55 years ago. So it wasn't email as we know now. But a professor and a student programmer in the US attempted to send the first ever electronic message. They were planning to type the word login to send it from one to the other, but the computer crashed before they could send it. And they only sent the letters L-O. So that is what was the first email. That was 55 years ago. Look to now. 3 million emails are sent worldwide every second.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, how many emails do we get every day? The average working person gets 121 emails a day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I definitely don't get that.
I'd get No, under 100.
No, I wouldn't get that. Definitely not.
Yeah. And 26% of people check their emails before they get out of bed.
I do that. Yeah, 100%. And I would still check emails and hold us.
Yeah, it's probably...
Which is not a good thing.
No,
but
it's not good for us, but I hold my hand up. I definitely do that.
Like, can you even... Well, not just in our job, but in everybody's life, where would we be without it? I mean, to think back on how slow everything... How long it must have taken to get things done and do things.
Yeah, you'd have to speak to people.
Send a letter? Actually go to the post office and post it? Yeah, just on... Unbelievable. This might be a memory for a lot of our listeners.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Yeah, well, they mightn't remember it, but they've surely heard of it.
Yeah, that is the War of the Worlds Halloween episode of a radio series, but it was performed and broadcast in 1938 over the CBS radio network, but it caused a lot of panic among people because people didn't know it was a radio drama. And it was warning them of, you know, there was a lot of panic because it was warning them of breaking news of something terrible happening.
God,
and of course, when you think back to 1938, you wouldn't have been promoting like something like this is coming up. It just came out of nowhere that people were warned of something drastic happening. They missed the indication that it was a work of fiction. And they thought the world was ending, caused panic. I did read a line where the scale of the panic is disputed because the programme had few listeners, but we'll ignore that shade.
Yeah. Just to go back to your Nightmare Before Christmas, there's a listener who says their 3-year-old wants to watch it all of the time.
No.
The Nightmare Before Christmas. And they love the music of it.
Okay. Well, it's described as too scary for children.
This is definitely a theme tune that everybody knows.
years since the GAA was formed in Thurles in Tipperary. Within 6 months, clubs were springing up all over Ireland and people began to play hurling and football. And now all over Ireland, there's 2,200 clubs. And then around the world, there's 400. US, Australia, the UK, Europe, Canada, Asia.
Yeah, we're actually just talking about Spain there. And, you know, even some of our callers were talking about the strength and success of the GAA club in Valencia at the minute. Obviously, you know, helping out with people after the flash flooding there too. But were you a GAA activist member over the years?
Have you not heard about my stellar career with Stalin's GAA?
Really?
Oh, yeah, I played up until a few years ago.
Did you?
In and out of it in school, but actually came into it in my 20s and played with Stalin's GAA for years.
Football or camogie?
Football, yeah. And was still involved in the club for a few years after that, like fundraising and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my family is massively into GAA.
I never played.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah,
and it's grey crack.
Good, like some of my not all of my friends did though, when I think back, and I always remember it clashed with Irish dancing.
Oh. So yeah, it's hard when you're at a certain age and you have so many activities.
Yeah, it was always on a Monday and a Wednesday, so yeah, you couldn't go for that reason. Now the number one tune in Ireland on this week.
I'm thinking now.
Yeah, but in what year though? Yeah. That's the question.
Well, I'd say every year, every wedding you were at that year, you might have heard it.
Yeah, it's got to be relatively recent. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, there's a whole period of my life that kind of blends into one, so I'm not quite sure.
And you would be confused because it spent so long in the charts, 43 weeks.
Did it?
Yeah, it was massive.
2016.
2014. Okay. Not too bad.
It's not too bad. Yeah, yeah, there is that kind of. It's relatively recent.
Yeah, it's
all right.
10 years.
You a big Ed Sheeran fan?
Not massively, no. I mean, some of the songs are nice and cute, and I know that was a massive first dance song
year.
Was everyone was using that. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, this was number one in the UK. Now, that was a tune I loved.
I loved that.
Absolutely.
And the video.
Nelly and Kelly Rowland. Yeah, unbelievable. I can still hear that in Equinox nightclub in Sligo as it was. So I was definitely in the latter years of secondary school going out when I probably shouldn't have been. But it's got to be like 2002. Or
you 2002. Nailed it. 2002.
Is it? 2002.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, no, I knew it had to be around that Leaving Cert era.
Yeah. I can still see that video with the flip phone where she's trying to write a message to him, but it's not even a proper message.
Unbelievable. This was number one in the US.
Dala tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosa buena. Dala tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena.
Yeah, you definitely have to do the dance when you hear that. Yeah. This song, I feel like this has been out for my entire life.
Exactly. It's hard to know when it landed.
Yeah, and it was always on. Do you remember, like, I remember going to Spain years ago on a family holiday.
Yes, this reminds me of holidays.
That's what I think
clubs.
Of. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're pushed it was up onto a dance floor.
Yeah, and you had to learn how to do this dance. So it must be early 90s. It must be like, I don't know, 93 or 4 or something, is it?
96.
Okay, not too bad. We'll take that. Happy days. Laura Donnelly, thanks a million for joining us on a little trip down memory lane.
Thank you.
Throwback Thursday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.